then we'll get you going there.
So I'm Sergeant First Class. Understand, or we get confused, we'll ask you to spell it out or explain it. And then I'm going to tell them a little bit. Today is the 12th of December, and the time is approximately 9:12.
Almost the time.
There you go. That's the exact time.
Right.
One day late,
right.
Third month. Mm-hmm. And we're here at Arlington National Cemetery. And what's that? We're in building?
This is building 117.
Okay.
Service, called the Service Complex.
There you go. That's what I was going to ask you next. And we're going to have to wait for a second. Actually, that's okay.
I think I'll be all right.
If it gets noisy when it starts blowing, we may have to turn
right.
The tape off.
This is building 117.
Okay. Huh? Is that as loud as it gets?
Yeah.
Okay.
First name or last?
Okay, why don't you spell your name, sir?
Okay, well, last. First name.
I think we were scheduled to
Melanie.
See.
Which are duty?
Motor vehicle operator.
Pardon?
Motor vehicle operator.
Motor vehicle operator.
Why do you go down to take the telescope? You don't mind me asking, I'm just curious.
Not that it matters.
This is the 305th Military History Detachment, and I'm going to be your main interviewer today. And basically, I'm going to ask a few questions prior to the event and after the event, and your thoughts on this. Right, so, where do you live?
I live in Washington, D.C.
Washington, D.C. And are you married?
Yeah. Grandchildren.
Congratulations. Can you give us a brief overview of your time in the military? You said you
I spent 2 years in the military from 1965 to 1968. I was connected with the Army Security Agency, stationed right down the road at Arlington Hall Station.
And in your career here at
Arlington National Cemetery, I've been here for 32 years.
So you started approximately?
In March of 1969.
And as you said, you're a motor vehicle operator here. And, give us an overview of what you did on September 10th. Do you remember anything about the day before the attack?
Yes, I do. It was a day that I will never forget and a day that I hope will never happen again, because of the event that took place, I hope I never see it again.
The day before the attacks, September 10th, the day before the attack.
Well, the day before the attack is a normal day here for me at Arlington Cemetery. I have actually three jobs that I do. I operate a trash truck, a street sweeper, and a street flusher. And this is something that I do on a daily basis, if the weather permits, with the street sweeper and the water truck. On the 10th, I usually pick up the trash every morning, and after that I either, like I said, get out the sweeper or the water truck, whatever is the lightest job to do.
So it was just a routine day?
Yes.
Right now, the day of the attack, September 11th. Can you count that for me?
I said it's the same basic thing I do every day. I start off picking up the trash. Once I got finished with the trash around 8:30, around 8:45, I picked up my sweeper, and I proceeded to sweep up one of the drives we have, what we call Patton Drive. As I made a turn to come back, I heard this whistling noise as if it was coming behind me. So when I turned to look, I seen this big, large airplane beside me.
So where were you at?
On Patton Drive.
And where is that position from here?
That's probably right up the street up here.
Maybe you can take us up there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And show you the exact location.
Well, we'll do that right afterwards.
Right, where I was. And the sound, a big whistling sound. Whee! And when I looked, I seen the plane beside me, and I can't use the language on tape that I use, but I asked, where in the H is he going? And when I looked, I seen he was kind of fighting with the plane. And he branched over like our parking lot here and made a turn toward the Pentagon, and that's the impact when he went into the Pentagon. Seen the first explosion, which was a kind of a light explosion, and I guess the next explosion I had must have been when the fuel ignited, because it was a tremendous explosion. It rocked this place. And I stood there, I mean, I looked, and it just, my stomach, my heart rather, just dropped to my stomach. So I got, I started to sweep up again, and I came down to this area to get a closer look over at the Pentagon, and it was just a frightful sight. Something that I've seen for the first time on September the 11th, and I hope I never, ever see it again. And, you know, it was just devastating. And quite a few of the fellows were standing at the back gate because they seen the plane circling. I didn't see it circling, but they seen it circling. But when it came down past the Navy Annex, it came right down the center road here. And like I say, when you heard that sound, I just said, what the hell is he doing? And he must have full throttle because he went into a full impact. And that's when you seen the explosion. The first one was kind of mild. Then I guess when the tanks ruptured, like I said, it just, all you could see was flames. You know, it just, frightful. And I just, like I said, I just hope I never see anything like that again.
How high up was the plane at estimate?
I would say the plane couldn't have been no more than about 40 feet up in the air.
40 feet?
40. It's roughly about 40. He was very low because I guess how you see losing the altitude, you could see he was fighting with it. And then he just, once he got it straightened out the way he wanted to go after he just, you could sound like he just opened the throttle up. Because you know, when a plane is landing, how it has that little whistling sound, that's the way it sounded when it came past me, like he had slowed to make his turn, then when he got where he wanted to go, he just went full throttle. He just, whoo! And it just, I stood right in there, I mean, I just, my mind just, I don't know how you would say it, just jump time, it just went. So I got in the machine and I come around this corner and I came so fast, my sweeper has three wheels. When I turn the corner, I like to flip that over, that's just how nervous I was. I just wanted to get to see what had happened. Then somebody in the cemetery put out a call for our safety officer to call the local authorities to get some help because something bad had happened over at the Pentagon. They just know it was an explosion, but I don't think many of them knew that it was an airplane that went in. And like I say, it was something that will stay in my mind. You know, it's locked there, and I hope that I'll never experience it again.
So this plane was roughly telephone pole
telephone pole height, right.
How about the immediate area? How did the attack affect this immediate area?
It just stunned everybody that was here, and everybody kept coming running up to the gate to see what it was. And I mean, it was just sort of chaotic because they cleared the Navy Annex, and most of those people had them to come in to the cemetery out of harm's way. Because they said they thought it was another plane or something like that. But I just seen that one that came past me. You know, and it's locked in. And the rest of the day here was, you know, it was a solemn day, but we still had work to do, so we had to really go about our duties. And we got finished at about 1 o'clock, and they said that we could leave. But by that time, everything was in turmoil. It usually takes me 10 minutes to get home. It took me 4 hours to get from here to Southeast Washington.
4 hours?
4 hours.
How far is that approximately?
That's from here to my house is about 7 miles. It took me 4 hours to get home because I had to go down 95 to go across the Woodrow Wilson Bridge to come back up 295 to get home because everything, the whole 14th Street Bridge was just locked off.
So that day you drove your vehicle into work?
Yes. Well, I drive every day.
But, describe how you saw other people acting and the effects of this attack on them.
If you could look at the expressions on the people's faces, it was, I can't know what kind of word to use, but it was frightful to them. It was You could tell that it had bothered everybody to see something like that happen. First, they thought it was a pilot that got lost or something like that, or a plane that just went down, until they found out that it was an attack. And just before that, we were had just gotten word about the planes that had hit the Trade Center in New York. So it was, I guess people just put it together what it was, and it was, like I said, it was a little chaotic, but everything blended out and everybody went about their work, you know, because we still were burying people that day. So we still had funerals to come in, those that could get in. We took care of them and the council, a lot of them. So for the time after that, it was really chaotic, because we even had trouble getting to work. You know, all the routes were blocked. We had to find alternate routes to get to work and stuff like that until it just, you know, leveled out.
So you still buried people that day? Yes. And the preceding days?
Yes. Those that could get in.
How many people would you estimate came from the Naval Annex?
Oh, it must have been from the way it looked, it must have been about 1,000 people. But they were coming off the hills like droves. And they were moving us back. Because, like when you have a disaster area declared, the military takes over. So they were moving everybody back, so we had to get out of the area.
And then, would you say that the emergency personnel were here quickly?
They did. The whole, from what we looked at, when they started coming, they were doing an excellent job. I mean, they came out in force. I mean, they were about their work.
What would have been the reaction time, probably minutes?
Yeah, we'd say 5 or 6, 7 minutes after the call went out, they were rolling.
This area here was far enough away from the Pentagon, but were you worried about your fellow workers and people maybe worked under you and you're able to locate them?
Yes, everybody here was asking, where's so-and-so, yes. Here they have a lot of camaraderie with the fellas. Some of the fellas here are really good friends, and, you know, they look out for each other. But we weren't actually in harm's, that much of harm's way by the distance where it happened. It was just the thing happening, unfolding itself, to see it unfold is something terrible.
Most of the cemetery workers assembled in this area after the
right, most of them came to the, where it was, like I said, the back gate where you could look straight over at the back gate. It was, you know, it was quite a few that somewhere up on the wall up there looking, because they had one that was actually digging a grave in the section up there. And the impact rocked the backhoe while it was digging. That's how the impact hit the ground. And the way he jokes about it, excuse my friend, he said he unasked it. And he just started running. And, but I don't think he knew what it was, just the impact scared the devil out of him.
And he came down to this area here.
Yes, came running.
Like, after the attack, you said shortly after the attack, you had communication, and they let you know what happened, the World Trade Centers. And
well, that talk came over, because some of the fellas, that, you know, the radios on, it came in over the radio, and they would discuss, some of them was just standing discussing it when this happened.
After this occurred, after the people assembled here in the cemetery, that was the end of your, pretty much your work day.
Right.
Doing the regular job here at the cemetery.
No, like I say, we still had people, they were still burying people. We had funerals coming in, and they still had to get those people into the ground. So once they got them in the ground, they, you know, ushered them out the front gate.
After the attack, did you have any guidance from your superiors what to do for the remainder of the day, the remainder of the next few days?
Like I said, well, we waited for the word, but we know that our first mission here is to bury. And after the burial was over, then they told us that we could leave. You know, that was around 12:30 or 1 o'clock that we could leave. And that's what basically most of the fellas did. They just got out of here as fast as they could go. You would think they were giving away $1 million at the front gate the way people were moving.
About the next following work days, and you came in regular shift,
right,
barring the traffic delays.
It was still here, it was still solemn. It was still, you could tell it was still affecting a lot of people's mind by the way they were talking about it and the reaction, just standing there, just just looking, you know, first just mesmerized, just looking at the Pentagon, because the fires were still burning. I think the fires burned for about 3 to 4 days over there, and we just sit there and watch the fire hoses, you know, work, watch the, what is that stuff they use? The foam trucks. We just watch them, you know, just watching them going about their work over there.
3 to 4 days.
Yes.
Smoking fire.
Mm-hmm. And you could, actually, you could, when the wind turned and blew back this way, you could begin to smell the stench. But we had a mission here to continue to bury, so that's our function here. So, like I said, those that could get in, call in, and we would accept the bodies and, you know, let them go.
How about any of the civil authorities, like police and firefighters, any of them use this area here for anything? Or?
Well, some of them use it because they came through here to get over there. You know, like some coming from different parts of Virginia, they might have came through Fort Myer to come through, or, you know, like that, or wherever they set up their command at.
Was that because of traffic difficulties?
No, I think that's just the directions that they were coming.
From that event on September 11, 2001, is there any lessons to be learned from this in your perspective?
As being a person that worked with the Armed Security Agency when I was in the service, better preparedness.
Better preparedness?
Better preparedness. Because there are some fanatics in this world. And the thing I don't understand is how I believe in God, and I am a firm believer in God. I'm a church-going man, and how do you kill somebody and say you're doing it for God? I don't understand that. So you have all kinds in this world, and we just got to keep our pants up. I think we got caught with our pants down. We need to do a little better job with the security.
What were your thoughts on this in the following days? Anger, sadness?
Anger.
Anger.
To get whoever it was at no cost. Complete anger.
Complete anger.
Complete anger. I even said if I wasn't an old man, I might volunteer to go back in the service. I think you heard a lot of that here. They just wanted to get him. You know, once the name surfaced of who the prime suspect was, everybody just, they wanted to go. But, you know, they didn't want to go. They said they wanted to go, but if it's time to go, I don't, nobody would have went. But that was a part of anger. You lash out.
That's most of your coworkers. Right. Their thoughts.
Right.
Most of them are probably military veterans.
Right. Bomb them, really. Then they said, well, they have mountains over there, bomb them. That was our thought, bomb them. But, you know, as you say, old military person, their thing is to strike. And I guess that came back to mind with a lot of us.
How about your family members? Are they worried about you?
Yes, they were. And the thing was that all the telephone lines, for some cell phone lines, went dead. And we had a lot of folks came in, and we were allowing them to use the phones here. And I was standing there looking, and it didn't dawn on me until for a long time, contact your family. So when I contact them, let them know I was all right, and I was trying to get home. And that was basically it.
How long after the plane hit the Pentagon did you contact your wife and loved ones?
It must have been about 3 hours afterwards. About 3 hours after. Like I said, I just stood there and I was just looking. You know, I don't know if I was crying or I know I felt real bad. But it took a while for me to even come to my senses to call my family and let them know that I was all right. And once I did that, I calmed down. But like I said, the only bad part after that, for a 10 to 15 minute drive, it took me 4 hours to get home. And I made it home safe and everything turned out all right.
But your loved ones initially were worried
that
you were involved in
right.
somehow. In
because they know that the close proximity of the Pentagon and Arlington Cemetery, they see it, but they don't know that it's a great distance in between. So they think it's closer than it is. And then what I had to do after everything cleared and opened up, I picked my family and I drove my family down Memorial Drive to show them what had happened and how far we were apart. So it was a little less relieved on the men.
Is there anything else you'd like to add to this interview that maybe could live on for future generations? Any of your thoughts, Hunt?
No, I just be prepared for anything, you know, but hope and pray that it doesn't happen.
Hope and pray that it doesn't happen.
Doesn't happen again.
Has this affected you in any way as far as loss of sleep for the days after?
No. Is this the only key question that comes up over and over and over again? I guess that's what everybody here in America is, why? And that's a question we probably will never get an answer to. They have all kinds of speculation, but we would never know why it happened. Or how someone could get to someone's mind to make them do what they did, and he runs and hides. You know, it's that question, why? So that's still an open question as to why.
Well, I want to thank you for talking to us today.
Thank you.
Appreciate God bless.
Because it needed to be vented, because like I say, this is the first time someone has spoken to, I guess, the employees here at Arlington. Well, we did have a prayer breakfast, you know, to get us together, but no one has come and asked the questions like you are, which I'm grateful that you are here.
Thank you.
Right.
You said you had a prayer breakfast.
Yes.
When was that?
That was in November.
In November?
Mm-hmm. We try to make that an annual thing here, you know, for employee prayer breakfast.
That was
given. Yes, it's given by the chaplains that work here every year.
I bet it was packed this year.
Yes.
Now what I have here, I have a form here that you'll sign this tape over to us and let us use this tape.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that you want to take out of the tape. And the tapes, good to take that to the Military History Institute. Oh, I'll write your name in here. And then you can sign it.
Bill, how far is it from here where you were at when you saw it?
Can we walk there now? It's walking distance, yes, it's walking distance.
Can we go up there now?
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We'll stop the tape for a minute and then we're going to go up to that site and you can show us
all
what
right.
You did.
So I asked, what the hell is that? And I stopped. And I was sitting in the sweeper, you could see the plane, like I said, when it came down this way. Straight down, swung over the block, and made a turn right to the Pentagon. But you can see it if I'm sitting back here, like I didn't walk all the way over, you could get a clear view of when he went down in the impact.
So you had that telephone pole under your head, and that's all the higher it was.
Right. It was about as high as this, dropping.
Good.
You can see right there in the openings at the Pentagon where you hit that, but
I was like a city road.
I didn't walk all the way back up, but getting to be old now. And if you're sitting in the sweeper's up high, and I look straight down at him. So after I seen the initial impact, the first one when it went, then when the next one went, I made a beeline down with the sweeper and came in the road where y'all came in there. And like to turn the sweep over, that's how scared I was. And when I got to the gate, we just continued to look at the impact, what it, you know, the damage that he had done.
So the noise was horribly loud then?
Yes.
Huh?
Yes.
You have any idea that thinking the thing was going to hit you in the sweeper?
No, because like I said, I was in. He was out there, like this road here. It was like his guide. Came down between the Navy Annex from the, what's that, Henderson Hall back there, come right down this drag.
This road here was like his like demarcation?
His, right, embarkation, yes. He went in the impact. Well, I mean, it was, I say, devastating. We'll never see it again.
So that's the Navy Annex where they swarmed out of and
right,
came down here.
Right, well, they cleared that out and everybody from there came off the hill and they were coming into the gate. They had us to open the gates up so they could come in, you know, out of harm's way in case there was something else coming. So I can imagine how them people felt in there but didn't know what was happening because on this side, they had to see the plane, a part of it.
Charlie? 54?
Mm-hmm.
And when you saw in those few seconds the low-flying jet, did you know this was an attack or did you think it was a plane in trouble?
I just thought it was a plane in trouble. Nope. I guess, you know, the average person thought it was a plane in trouble until we didn't know, even after it hit the Pentagon, we didn't know that it was a terrorist attack until later after we found out what had happened. You know, they put it together at the World Trade Center and then here. somehow that came out there. There was another airplane here and another one up there in Pittsburgh, Philadelphia, somewhere up that way.
So, and you mentioned you heard two explosions, the impact explosion
impact,
and then when the fuel went?
The fuel, probably when the fuel went on.
You also said that you saw it sort of make the throttle go
right,
down.
Right, when he came, it's like you're on a, you know, you hear an airplane if you're near the airport when it's landing. But that's the sound he came, when he came past, it was
so it accelerated.
Like he accelerated, right.
And you say you're a father of
four
and a grandfather of five?
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you for everything today.
Thank you, Sarge.
Pleasure. Appreciate that.
Pleasure.
All done?
All done.
You did great.
It's there. I'll put it on.
Where the turmobiles turn around?
So they took it all down.
Yeah,
you see right there.
You're talking about
when
people
got
fired.
Mm-hmm.
When did that come down?
I just noticed that Monday that it was down. It looked like it was up there or something.
Is that Navy property there?
Yeah. And this was a madhouse. There's barricades and stuff. Police all 24/7. I didn't do it for 2 years, so I'd probably be thrown in, if I ever go, it's probably in a columbarium somewhere. They get kind of closed, you know, the restrictions and so forth. He went to a battle just a few weeks ago. They buried him today.
Where's that?
That's going to be up by, have you been by the amphitheater?
No, I haven't.
It'll be up by the amphitheater, according to the Section 35.
Right on. You still see him?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's up playing keynote. That's the little gambling, you know, they go play the keynote.